You are listening to
BackersTalk.com.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Amanda, come in.
10-4.
Have you infiltrated the security system yet?
Locked and loaded. Ready to lower myself into the enemy war room.
I'm lowering you down now.
I have access. The Packers are in for a tough one this week. I need the password to proceed.
The password is read option.
I hate that password.
Me too. You know which wires to cut.
Always go for the green and gold. Here we go. I'm Amanda Lawson.
And I'm Chris Calloway, and you're going with us
behind
enemy lines. Welcome to another week of Packers Football and Behind Enemy Lines, a podcast hosted through PackersTalk.com. You can find us on iTunes at PackersTalk.com, as well as on Twitter at EnemyLinesGB. I'm one of the hosts, Chris Calloway, on Twitter at CCalloway33, and I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend and fellow owner, Amanda, who you can find on Twitter at Amanda R. Geoffrey. The Packers 2-0 in prime time once again this Monday night, as they play host to the Kansas City Chiefs. The big number in that line there, Packers 2-0, winning over the Seahawks at home last week. Does it at all make up for what happened in the NFC title game last year?
No.
No? Not even just a shred of a little bit of something?
I mean, it always feels good to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean That's about how I'm going to look at it. I mean, it's only the second game of the season. There's a lot more game to go. I think the media was really hyping up this game.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it wasn't a good ball game. I mean, it certainly was.
Right.
But, I mean, there's nowhere near the meaning behind it.
I mean,
other than the fact that they've established a rivalry and there's been some unfortunate incidents in a couple of the games.
Right. Yeah.
But after last year's championship game, I mean, no. Of course it doesn't make up for it. If that would have also been an NFC championship game, yes, I would say, yes, it would have made up for it.
Here's,
but it's not.
I'm going to go as far to say is that that game was for home field advantage in the NFC this season. I think it was that big of a game last week. I think the Packers now are firmly in the driver's seat. There's a whole heck of a lot of difference if they're both 1-1 and the Seahawks have the tiebreaker. Now, I firmly believe that the NFC has to go through Lambeau Field to see who comes and plays out west for the Super Bowl this year.
That's true. I mean, there is an advantage there. I mean, I just think that it's so early. It's so early to talk about those kind of things.
Right. A lot can happen between now and then, but it was a success in week two for a lot of reasons, not only the final score, but the Packers look better against the read option. And
they
I mean,
did.
You and I know that very, very well, the struggles that the team has had. But, you know, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson and over the past couple of years have really stymied them. And Russell Wilson got free a couple of times, but it felt like something clicked and they knew, not that they knew, didn't know what they were doing before, but they just executed that much better this past weekend.
Well, and two, I don't know if it had something to do with when they went into the game against the Bears. You know, they weren't expecting to have as many challenges as maybe they would have had against the Seahawks. And so not only were they mentally better prepared, but after they saw what happened in the game in Chicago, they were like, oh, we got to be physically more prepared for this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something to be said for that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what did you make of what happened in the third quarter when, you know, they didn't look all that great?
What I said is that they must have had some really delicious brats at halftime.
Kind of slowing them down a little bit.
I was like, what? Did we all just go take a nap? Wake up. It was like they were not quite ready to start yet. I don't know.
And I mean, to the Seahawks' credit, they're a very good football team, and I think eventually they were going to make some plays, right?
Right.
And
right.
I think that's just kind of what happened. I think they were going to get on the scoreboard eventually. And on the Packers side of the ball, when Aaron Rodgers had it, the offensive line let Michael Bennett through on that one play in the third quarter and, you know, just kind of stalled out at a couple of drives in the wrong time. And, you know, it kind of flipped the script on the score a little bit. But the way Rodgers responded at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter there, was the reason he's the best quarterback in the league.
I mean, it was like lightning.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was just like slice and dice up and down the field. Bing, bang, boom, touchdown. This one's over.
Yeah. Come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro. It's exactly what it was. I mean, that the play, the first touchdown to James Jones was beautiful. You know, rolling out to his left,
yes,
planting and kind of throwing back. An unadvisable throw to many quarterbacks, but one that Aaron knows he can make. But the one he had with Richard Rodgers almost tells me a little bit more. The fact that he's kind of on that same mental wavelength with this now second-year tight end who, as soon as Rodgers kind of, or Richard Rodgers kind of made that move where he was going to get in front on, you know, on Aaron's side of the ball, Aaron was slinging it. And, you know, he kind of threw him open right in that corner for the touchdown. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, and the fact that he can have Richard Rodgers on the same wavelength as him now makes that offense just that much more dangerous.
No, I definitely agree with you. And it was amazing. He had a good connection. And it wasn't just James Jones this time. I think we saw a little bit of everything that he could do. And I think that was good. I think people needed to see that. Because there's still a lot of question about what about Jordy Nelson? Mm-hmm. And I think those are slowly going away, those questions are. But one of the areas that we kind of, like, struggled in, and it was because Eddie Lacy kind of had a little mishap there, and he was gone.
And I think between watching that injury happen live and then on SportsCenter afterwards, they showed it, like, about 100 times. I'm like, I get it. His ankle is rolled up. Stop it. It's making me queasy.
Right, yeah, no. And I think we're really lucky that it's not as bad as it could be.
Right. And, I mean, what do you think of James Starks?
You know, he held his own.
Right.
You know, he it was very apparent that we don't have a run game with just him. Like, Eddie Lacy, him and Eddie Lacy have a great partnership. They can take that job and they can make it work for the Packers. But him alone, he's just not as powerful. And he had a couple of great breaks, but I just think that he cannot take as many hits, he can't take as many plays, he can't take as many snaps as Lacy can, and it can't hold up throughout the season.
Right. I mean, it's kind of exactly what you want in the NFL now with complementary backs, two different running styles, and they're that much better when both of them are there. So Starks is a feature back. I'm not totally sold on it, but it's nice to have Aaron Rodgers directing your passing game if that's the other option.
Right, exactly. I mean, that we did survive before Eddie Lacy came along.
This is true. I mean, it's been a whole heck of a lot better with him, but James Starks, you forget how good he can be.
Yes, it's true. So I always watch the Packers games in a state other than Wisconsin, but you, my friend, were adventuring out on the East Coast. Tell me about the Packers fans that you ran into in D.C.
Well, they were everywhere. I was out in D.C. for a wedding this past weekend, and they were everywhere. I mean, I was out and about on Sunday, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear my Packers polo shirt that I have because I'm just proud of my team, and I was getting high fives everywhere on the Metro, by the Capitol. There were just Packer fans everywhere, you know? It was kind of cool to see the fact, you know, that you're so far away from Wisconsin, that there's still strongholds everywhere you are. And, you know, we took a big group of us to a bar in Virginia on Sunday night to watch the game. And we weren't even the only Packer fans there. We kind of took over the bar, made them turn on the volume for the game, and made the bar actually stay open than they were open later than they were planning on, because there were so many of us there supporting the Greeny Gold. And it was awesome to see that many people. And, you know, it felt like a Wisconsin bar because there were so many people chanting and cheering and, you know, living and dying with every play for the Packers.
You're home away from home.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I mean, I'm going to like watching the game at home this weekend, but, you know, if I have to pay, you know, $7 for a beer when I did, out east, and I know that's kind of complaining and being... I have it pretty good where I'm at, but, you know, if I have to do that, you know, it was a pretty cool place to do it.
Well, there you go.
Right. So, but this game this weekend, or technically next week, Monday night, I'm a little concerned.
Oh, what are you concerned about?
Well, the Packers are about a touchdown favorite, depending where you look. They're about 6.5 to 7.5 point favorites. And if I were a betting man, I would lay money on the Chiefs.
You would.
Not necessarily to win, but I think it's going to be a really close game. There are lots of things about this Kansas City team that give me cause for concern. Jamaal Charles, his game-breaking ability. Justin Houston and his 22 sacks last year. He's already got 3 in 2 games this year. A couple of the guys that I'm going to be worrying about going forward. But almost this past week, there was just an over-reliance on Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if I'm going to rely on anybody in the league, I'd like it to be that guy. But you ever feel that, you know, maybe we're asking a little too much out of him?
Yeah, I understand your concern. I think it's very valid because, unfortunately, as much as we build up our defense, as much as we've built up our run game and all these other assets to the Packers, it seems like every year it comes down to we had Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it bothers you. This is a team sport. We don't want to rely on one person to make or break us. But I think maybe even taking that one step further, and I would be more nervous about our offensive line staying healthy.
And that's kind of what my point comes from. You know, this team is built around Aaron Rodgers, and Ted Thompson has done a good job in doing so, but losing Jordy Nelson, losing Eddie Lacy, losing Brian Bulaga, losing, you know, all of these guys, you know, how many of those losses can you absorb and still have Aaron Rodgers be enough to beat good teams like Kansas City this weekend?
Well, so, I mean, I think a lot, depending on who it is. I mean, receivers for days. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a good enough quarterback. If they have somewhat of an ability to catch a ball, he's going to be able to make plays.
But, I mean, Devontae Adams got hurt last week. He wasn't the same guy when he came back late in that game.
That's true. But I think as soon as you lose the offensive line, that's going to impact, one, either Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt, or two, I mean, he's going to run out of options. He's not going to have time to make options.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could even make running plays when he needs to.
Right.
And that's one of the, maybe that's why they can rely on him so much, as he has so many assets and so many abilities and so many talents that he can bring to the field, whereas other quarterbacks don't necessarily have that. But as soon as he runs out of time, like, that's what I feel like maybe is more of the leaning factor. I don't know. Maybe they go hand in hand.
I think they do to a certain extent, but I think the Packers are going to find out on Monday night exactly, you know, how much those losses are going to, you know, be made maybe really obvious on the field. Justin Houston, like I said, terrifies me. I know Don Barclay played pretty darn good against Seattle, but Justin Houston is like a half a step below J.J. Watt in terms of how good they are in this league. I believe he's one of the top 5 defensive players in the league, and I am terrified about that matchup in particular on Monday night. I'm very intrigued to see what our guest has to say about that matchup in particular. We'll get to a lot of stuff, but Justin Houston gives me the willies right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe we just need to talk to an expert and find out exactly what Kansas City is going to bring to the field.
I think we should do that.
All right. Now we'd like to welcome our guest, Therese Taylor, to the show. Therese is a chief beat writer for the Kansas City Star. You can find his work at kansascity.com and follow him on Twitter at Therese Taylor. Welcome to the show, Therese. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so we get the sense that Kansas City is a pretty good team this year, but that gut punch at the end of last Thursday's loss to the Denver Broncos, you know, had to rub some people the wrong way. What was the general consensus amongst A, the players, and B, the fans about how the end of the game went down?
Yeah, I thought fans were pretty disappointed, obviously. Some of them were putting it up there with other past heartbreaks the Chiefs had. Playoff loss to Indy in 2014, the Lynn Elliott game, stuff like that. You know, the players are saying all the right things, you know, just the need to move on, turn the page. Andy Reid said, hey, you know, you let this thing hurt, but you move on, put it in the past and move on to the next thing. And at the end of the day, that's how winning is done. You know, good teams find a way to turn the page when stuff like this happens. So we're going to tell what kind of heart these guys have based on how they perform against the Packers on Monday.
Well, I was reading up on kcstar.com, and I came across some of the comments that people were saying, and let's just say that Andy Reid's decision-making, it's come into question on more than one occasion. Some people not too thrilled with the Chiefs head coach. Is that an overreaction to week two, or is there some bigger picture animosity towards Coach Reid?
It's a week two thing. I think at the end of the day, you know, this guy is 21-13 as the coach here. They were 2-14 before he got here, and he's a good coach. He's one of the best coaches in the league. Now, there's always going to be times when fans nitpick and second guess a coach. I mean, that's part of that job, right? And especially when you lose a game that way, yeah, there's going to be some frustration and anger with the way that happens. But I think at the end of the day, people here recognize they have a good coach. And, you know, you take the good and the bad with Andy Reid. Most of the times he's going to have great play calls, and most of the times he's going to make good decisions. And sometimes the things he does doesn't work out, but that applies to any coach. And I think for the most part, you know, people here do understand that, you know, when it comes to the kind of the head coaching scale, they do have one of the better ones in the league.
Well, so looking at the Packers' past games, Matt Forte looked really good against the Packers, whereas Green Bay was able to contain Marshawn Lynch. Jamaal Charles went for 125 yards and scored against the Broncos, but he did have those two very costly fumbles. What do you kind of expect out of him against the Packers' defense on Monday night?
Well, we'll see. I think they might have to get him involved in the passing game. I think you know, if they can't run the football effectively, I mean, if the Packers do the same thing to him that they did to Lynch, they're going to have to get him the ball on short throws, which is something they did against the Texans in week one when the Texans tried to lock down Jamaal Charles. So, listen, I think they're going to get that guy the ball, though. I mean, this guy's one of the league's lead backs, fumbling issues aside. He's one of the league's lead backs. He's definitely the number one option on this team. Whether they're throwing it to him on short routes or they're handing the ball off to him, Jamal's going to get his. Now, how he fares against the Packers, I'm not sure. I think it's going to depend on what the Packers decide to do as far as, you know, are they going to try to take away the short passing game or are they going to try and take away Charles? You know, whatever they decide to take away, I think the Chiefs will try and take what they give them. And, you know, we'll just see what that means.
What do you think is the most effective way that the Chiefs use Jamaal Charles? Because I think the Packers, when they struggle to make open field tackles at time, and we see that when teams spread them out. So, I mean, is that going to maybe kind of be the plan of attack to try to get Jamaal Charles in space and let him do his thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying with the short passes. I mean, you can use that as an extension of the running game, so that could certainly be an option, yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, Andy uses him in a lot of ways. You got the inside zone, outside zone. You know, you could see some of that too. But, you know, Jamal's an accomplished route runner. He can split out wide and run some stuff. And you can just dump it off to him on screens and that kind of thing. So, you know, they're going to get him the ball in those ways, I think.
And then flip it to the other side of the ball. I read your in-depth look at Marcus Peters this week, and I thought it was really good. And I thought that, you know, his pick six last Thursday night against Peyton Manning was really cool to see for a rookie, you know, this stage of his career. But I think the challenge for the secondary as a whole is a little bit different against Aaron Rodgers. It's also good to see Eric Berry coming back to form. But how does this secondary stack up against a quarterback who really just doesn't throw interceptions at home?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a different animal than the last two guys they faced. You know, it almost doesn't matter how good your secondary is with them. Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback, and the Chiefs have a really good pass rush up front, so this is the guy that you need to pressure. But the problem is he does such a good job, you know, eluding pressure and making tough throws downfield. I mean, he can really make you pay. So that's the thing. I mean, you want to get the pressure on him, but it almost doesn't matter sometimes. You just have to be disciplined in your technique and assignment. As far as the matchup goes, the young corners have fared well. You know, Phillip Gaines, Marcus Peters, those guys have fared well. Now, Jamel Fleming, who's been the third guy now that Sean Smith's been suspended for the first three games, he struggled some. And Smith will really be handy here because if you had Smith, that's a pretty good top three cornerback tandem. But as it is, they're probably going to have to deal with Fleming and roll with him. And, you know, the safeties are, you know, Ron Parker's a very good cover safety. Eric Berry's still working his way back. Hussein Abdullah does some nice things in the box. I think the secondary is actually pretty solid, but the problem is against this Rodgers cat, it almost doesn't matter. I mean, if you don't get after him right, sometimes even if you do, he'll carve you up. And that's just that's what a great quarterback does. That's just how that works.
Well, speaking of that pass rush, Justin Houston got paid in the offseason, and he's already living up to the contract with three sacks in the first two games. The Packers are missing starting right tackle Brian Bulaga. And, you know, I thought Don Barclay looked good against Seattle, but Justin Houston is one of the best of the game. Could this be one of the biggest mismatches in the Chiefs' favor on Monday night?
It's certainly something they've got going in their favor. You know, Houston's a complete player, and he even looks better than he did a year ago. This guy is big, he's strong, he's tough at the point of attack, he sets the edge, and he's got multiple pass rush moves he can break out on you, and he gets after, he plays hard every play. That checks all the boxes as an edge rusher. This guy's really good, and he's in his prime at 26 years old. He's somebody the Packers need to pay attention to, whether you chip him a little bit, whether you have running backs pay extra attention to him. He can ruin your game plan. Well, Mike McCarthy is a good coach, though. I suspect they'll have something for him. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is pretty aware, too, so he knows how to slide in and out of the pocket, that kind of stuff. You know, the problem is Tom Mahali is on the other side as well, and Tom is still a good player, even though he's old. So, you know, you look at this situation. She's our position to be able to get after quarterback, especially with the emergence of the inside guys like Alan Bailey, Dontari Poe, and Jay Howard.
Well, one of the things that the Packers might not have on Monday night is Eddie Lacy. And, you know, if you don't have that power running game up the middle, you know, those linebackers might be able to tee off coming forward a little bit more. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm certainly worried about. So, I mean, without that running game where it's been for the Packers, you know, how much more could that play into the Chiefs' favor as well?
Yeah, that's something that could help the Chiefs. I think teams have had a lot of success running the football at them the last few years. Now, the return of Derek Johnson and Mike DeVito, who both suffered season-ending Achilles injuries in the season opener a year ago, has been a big help. Both those guys are good against the run. But, you know, this is still a team that you can kind of pound in the middle a little bit. And Eddie's a big back. Yeah, I've seen Eddie. Like, Eddie's a big guy now. Mm-hmm. He can get downhill on you. So if Eddie's not in the mix, that helps the Chiefs out a lot. But, you know, again, this is a really solid, sound offensive scheme. You know, even without Eddie, you know, Starks worries you a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure they'll find a way to – I mean, the running game, the run defense is a little vulnerable. I mean, I'd be surprised if the Packers still didn't try to pound it in there a little bit to set up other things.
I hope James Starks is enough for the Packers offensively. But going back to the Chiefs offense, you know, Alex Smith, he's got weapons this season. He's got Jeremy Maclin. He's got Travis Kelce really emerging into one of the top tight ends of the league. And then, like we said about Jamal Charles, and he does have a history of winning at Lambeau Field, too. I mean, Amanda and I were at a game in 2012 where he and the 49ers took it to the Packers. But granted, it doesn't mean much, but the Chiefs have never lost a game to the Packers at Lambeau. I saw that stat today. What's it going to take from Alex Smith in particular to help Kansas City keep that, you know, perfect Lambeau streak alive?
I think he's going to have to make some throws. Alex is really good at not making mistakes. Now, he made a few against Denver, And those are rare for him, though. He's really good at taking care and protecting the football. And that's definitely something he's going to need to do. It's going to be a spotlight game. It's at night against a very good team. He's going to have to take care of the ball, but I also think he's going to have to make some throws. I think this would be a great time for them to finally throw a receiver touchdown. This game number three with Jeremy Maclin, like, it would be good for them to get on the board with a touchdown. I think they're going to find ways to get Maclin the ball, or at least they should, in addition to Charles and Travis Kelce. And I think they need more of what Alex Smith gives them, but he's going to have to make a few big throws if they want him to win.
So what's the deal with that streak? I mean, why is it that the Packers can't seem to keep the Chiefs down when they come to Lambeau?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think that's just, you know, football's weird, right? So weird things happen sometimes, and you get streaks like that, you know. Like, things like that happen in football, man. I don't know if there's really any rhyme or reason to it, you know.
All right, so, Therese, I have another question for you. I was in Kansas City a couple of seasons ago when the Packers were leading this awesome undefeated season, and I was super pumped to be down there with a bunch of my friends who are Packers fans, and then we lost to this team called the Chiefs, who were kind of a nobody in the season, especially that late in the season. And, you know, as heartbreaking as it was, I absolutely had a blast at that game. I mean, the fans were awesome. They, you know, it was just a good atmosphere. What's kind of the general perception that Kansas City fans and players have of Green Bay and, like, coming to Lambeau Field? Is there anything that they really think about when they talk about the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, we haven't had any media access this week yet, believe it or not. So, you know, we don't get that till tomorrow. But, you know, talking to Andy Reid, he obviously has a lot of respect for the organization. You know, he coached there, obviously.
Right.
Brett Favre was there. He was a part of the championship team. And I think anybody who loves football understands kind of the history and kind of status that the organization, the Green Bay Packers, has in the National Football League. I certainly do. I love football. And, you know, I think back to my childhood watching NFL films, and, you know, it seems like the Packers, you know, there's a lot of those Vince Lombardi, you know, John Facenda films. Like, you just remember it. Like, that's football, you know. And I had a chance to go to Green Bay last preseason, man. And, man, you know, Lambeau Field is football, isn't it? It's great. So it's a really fun place to watch a game. It's a really fun place to kind of be if you appreciate the history of the game. And, you know, I know Andy Reid feels that way. I mean, he's talked about that before. Sometimes the players, you know, they're just worried about, you know, winning games and stuff. So I don't know how much they would be willing to say about it or talk about it. But I do think, like, in the grand scheme of things, if you do love football, it's kind of hard not to appreciate the Packers and what that organization means to the league.
Plus, you got the legendary Doug Peterson of the backup quarterback fame. He spent a lot of time up here. I bet he'd have some good things to say about Green Bay for you this week.
Yeah, you're probably right. Doug is always Doug is talkative. He's a nice guy. You know, we might have to ask what he thinks about the place.
There we go.
Awesome. Well, Therese, thanks for giving us some insight on the Kansas City Chiefs. But now it's down to the nitty-gritty. Monday night, and we've talked about what's going to happen, hopefully, on the offensive side of the ball, what's going to happen with the defense. How do you see this game playing out on primetime television?
I'm going to predict the Packers are going to win. I think it'll be close, though. I'm thinking something like 31-27, something like that. I do think it's going to be difficult to go in Lambeau and win on Monday night, but it will be close. And if the Chiefs get a few breaks, they can win it. But I just think it's tough to pick against the Packers in a game like this.
Well, I like your point spread there, right around 4. I mean, I think I saw it was Packers by about a touchdown, so if I were a betting man, I would be betting on the Chiefs this week. Justin Houston just terrifies me going into this game. He's the guy that I'm most worried about. So maybe I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring, somewhere around the Packers 24, Kansas City 20. What about you, Amanda?
Well, you know, I'm going to go right in the middle there. I think the Packers are going to be able to get their offense rolling. But, you know, I do think it's going to be a close game. I think Kansas City is a really legitimate team, and they're going to put up some competition. And, you know, there's just a few of those weaknesses that I'm not sure the Packers can sustain again for a third week in a row. So we'll see it, but I'm going to go with Packers 27, Kansas City 23. So that is what will go down Monday night. We'll find out. We'll see. Who knows? Hopefully a Packers victory. At least that's what we're going to be cheering for. So thank you so much for joining us, Therese. And you'll be heading up to Green Bay?
I will. I will be up there ready for the game. It'll be fun.
All right, yeah. Well, enjoy your time. Hopefully the weather's still nice. We've been having great weather up here.
I like hearing that. I enjoyed my last trip up there, too. So.
Yeah, preseason football.
I'm a big guy. I like eating. So, I'm a fan of Milwaukee. So.
There we go.
Oh, they've got some pretty new, great, fantastic food I hear up there at Lambeau Field now. They were promoting a bunch of their new brats and whatnot on the news the other day, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that would feed a family of like 10.
Nice. I like that. I'm going to have to check that out.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate your time, Therese, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
We appreciate everyone for tuning into the Week 3 edition of Behind Enemy Lines. The Packers will host the Kansas City Chiefs for a primetime game on Monday Night Football. Once again, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. I'm Chris Calloway, and you can find me at CCalloway33.
And I'm Amanda Geffrey. You can find me at Amanda R. Geffrey. Thank you to our guest, Therese Paylor, for joining us. You can find him on Twitter at Therese Paylor. Remember, check out all of our podcasts on PackersTalk.com and follow Behind Enemy Lines on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. Until next time,
go Pack Go!
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.